New Thought Guy.
3, 2, 1.
Anyway, I want to talk just for a little bit. I have a story to tell, and some of you have heard this story, and that's okay. But it just works with what I want to talk about. So long ago, fire, water, and truth and falsehood lived together in one large house. Okay, you get that? Fire, water, truth, and falsehood. Although all were polite to each other, they kept their distance, and it had nothing to do with COVID. Truth and falsehood sat on opposite sides of the room. Didn't like each other too much. Fire constantly leapt out of water's path, as fire is apt to do. One day they were all hunting together, and they found a large number of cattle and began driving them home to their village. And so Truth said, "Let us share this cattle equally." And they traveled across the grasslands with these cattle. "This is the fair way," says Truth, "to divide our captives," meaning the cattle. No one disagreed with Truth, except, of course, for Falsehood. And Falsehood wanted more than an equal share, but decided to keep quiet for a moment. So as the four hunters traveled back to the village, Falsehood went secretly to Water and whispered, "Hey, Water, you know, you're more powerful than fire. So if you destroy fire, then there's going to be more cattle for the rest of us." "Huh?" Water thought about it for a second one. "Yeah." So then Water flowed over fire, bubbling and steaming until fire was gone. And Water meandered along cheerfully, thinking about the more cattle that it was going to have for itself. Falsehood, meanwhile, whispered to Truth and said, "Look, see for yourself. Water has killed fire. Let us leave Water, who has so cruelly destroyed our warm-hearted friend, and let us take the cattle high in the mountains to graze, because Water doesn't deserve our friendship." So as Truth and Falsehood traveled up the mountain, Water tried to follow, but of course the mountain was too steep and water couldn't flow upwards, right? So Water washed down upon itself, splashing and swirling in the rocks as it tumbled down the slope. And to this day, of course, Water is still tumbling down the mountainside, not going up the mountainside. So finally, Truth and Falsehood arrived at the mountaintop, and Falsehood turned to Truth and said in a loud voice, "I am more powerful than you. You will be my servant. I am your master. All the cattle belong to me." And Truth rose up and spoke out and said, "I will not be your servant." And they battled and battled. And finally, they decided to bring the argument to Wind, so that Wind could decide who was the master here. And Wind didn't know. So Wind decided to blow all over the world to ask people whether Truth or Falsehood was more powerful. And some people said, "Well, a single word of falsehood can completely destroy Truth." And others insisted, "Like a small candle in the dark, Truth can change every situation." And so Wind finally returned to the mountain and said, "I have seen that falsehood is very powerful, but it can only rule where truth has stopped struggling to be heard." Now, this is an Ethiopian tale of wisdom, and it brought up the question to me when I saw it again: are we allowing truth to be heard? And that's what I've been talking about all day, is are we allowing truth to be heard? Now, it's okay to admit to yourself, because I do when I have it happen to me, if truth is feeling unheard or even unlearned in our lives, I have learned to allow it to at least let itself teach and be heard and be listened to, or heard as in hearing it, not listened to it as in taking action from it, to at least allow it to speak to me until my hearing of it turns into listening to it and my heart opens up so my consciousness can receive the truth. In Living the Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes tells us, the science of mind conspires with us because it has led us back through the dim and dark cavern of our own thinking to the original source of our being, which it has hesitated to call God, and of course you can call it what you like, but which it knows is a power greater than we are. So the truth is actually a power greater than we are, as well as a greater power than falsehood, if we just listen to it. Now, the dim and dark thinking Ernest Holmes was talking about comes in many forms, of course. What we grew up with that's kind of sticking around, what some clergy said that was more interested in your afterlife than your present life. I know some of us have been brought up in that situation. Any lie that you've accepted in your life or continue to accept in your life, there might be some, or any personal tragedy that has occurred that has bent your perspective on life. Anybody have any of those? You don't have to answer. But, you know, things have happened in our lives that have been tragic or traumatic, and they kind of bend our perspective on life. My question for you today is, are you willing to live divinely and celebrate that divinity that is within you, no matter what has or is happening right now or tomorrow or yesterday? We have to decide. And I find myself now and again having to do the same thing. And I have to say to myself, am I willing to live as my divine self in a divine way? Today is the third Sunday of Advent, for those who were or weren't brought up Catholic. And the theme for this day of Advent is joy. And my definition of joy, as many of you know, is being in communion with the divine that you are and revealing this loving intelligence in all you think, feel, and do. To me, that is joy. Everything else is happiness or sadness or something in between. But joy is when we reveal the divinity in us and we vibrate at the speed of the divine so that we can bust through Soren Zoom. That is joy to me. It has nothing to do with my attitude of the day, my feelings of the day, my emotions of the day. It has to do with my consciousness and how I am being as a state of being, not a state of mind, which is temporary. In that book, Tuesdays with Maury, anybody read that book, Tuesdays with Maury? Maury describes his ideas on living a full life, and I want to put a couple of them out here. And he asks, are you willing to give out love and let love come in? Now, that doesn't just mean romantic love and the love you have with your friends or your partner. I'm talking about the big L love, which is the divine love. And not only give it out and share that love with especially folks who are like some of the people in our story have a hard time hearing it, have a hard time accepting it, but of course the love of yourself. And the second one is live in a fully conscious and compassionate way, not to others, but also yourself. We have to be compassionate to ourselves. I relearned that now and again, as I realize I'm not being compassionate to myself about things that my consciousness didn't allow to go the way that I intended. And I have to change those thoughts and feelings and stories that are going on in my head. So are you willing to live divinely with the small d, meaning with delight, with grace and magnificence, with splendidly, with sublime and superb choices, in wonderment, with excellence going on, with succulence going on in your life, with supreme exuberance happening in your life, and divinely, with the capital D, which of course means awaken to and allowing the full joy of the power and presence of which you are to inform you and guide you and empower you and move you to your greatness, so that we not only know these things, but we live these things, we be these ideas, these principles. I have to remind myself sometimes, and I'm sure you do as well, this teaching is sound. What we teach, what we say, what we do in our spiritual practice, it's sound, it's whole. It will carry us through happiness and sorrow, and there's no reason to doubt its power and its truth. As Ernest Holmes says, there is one life. That life is God, that life is perfect, that life is my life now. It is flowing through me, circulating in me. I am one with its rhythm. My heart beats with the pulsation of the universe in serenity, in peace, and in joy. My whole physical being is animated by the divine spirit, and there is anything, and if there is anything in it that does not belong, it is cast out because there is one perfect life in me now. Wow, powerful. So the answer to my earlier question, of course, is yes. Yes, I live divinely in the divinity I am because I know the truth. And I know how to implement that truth and live that truth and be, with the capital B, that truth. I know where to put my attention, my focus, my intention. I know what perspective to have on life, and I know how to have joy by intentionally connecting to the truth. And it's okay if we temporarily forget it, because we know it. And because we know it, we can take the moment we need to allow it to rekindle. Because sometimes we get blinded by disappointment. We get blinded by tragedies and traumas that happen in our lives or around our lives. What's happening in the Midwest in the last couple of days is heartbreaking. What's happening in Afghanistan with so many people hungry, and in other parts of the world, even in this country actually, is heartbreaking and can move us away from knowing the truth. And sometimes we don't see our good. And I mean our good with a capital G, meaning that the universe is conspiring with us to bring into our lives that which we have decided to bring into our lives. Or maybe we don't think we're worthy of the good God, of the good that God has promised. Good God, why? Because it's promised it. It's there. We just have taken a wrong turn, or as I said in my talk about the dream, we're standing on the wrong corner of the street, or we're standing on the corner of the street instead of on the street. And so at that corner, we allow the negative to pop in as well as the positive. And so we get some middle ground, which is usually unsatisfying. Yes, I live divinely in the divinity that I am because I know how to have joy by intentionally connecting to the truth. We are practicing when we do that, what Emma Curtis Hopkins calls ideas of absence. Do you remember that? Ideas of absence, ministerial students. Absence from our communion with the universe is what's happening, our joy. Our protests, she says, she calls those ideas denials. And a lot of us will go into denial. And I don't mean, there's also that denial of, it's not there, blah, blah, rose-colored glasses. I don't mean that denial. I mean when we say things like, this is void. I shall never do this, that, or the other. This idea shall no longer come into my mind. This or that shall not harm me anymore. Those are the denials that a lot of times come in before we start focusing on the truth. Now, those are truths, but as we're taught, and I believe this to be, it's more powerful healing words to focus on what we are, who we are, what we want, what we're having today, what we've decided to have. That is the more powerful, focusing on what we want, not what we don't want. So let's do that together. Let's raise the physical and material veil right now and move into the spiritual realm to think as spirit and embrace our consciousness with these five universal affirmations from Emma Curtis Hopkins' book, Mental Science. Now, let me prelude that with, for those who are interested in reading Emma Curtis Hopkins, know that she can be difficult to read, partially for when she wrote this stuff and the kind of vernacular they used in her time. And but she's got powerful things to say. And this is from her book, Mental Science. And so take a listen to this. These are affirmations. And I love these affirmations. And here they are. My good is my God. My God is life, truth, love, substance, intelligence, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. In God, I live and move and have my being. I am spirit, mind, wisdom, strength, wholeness. The I am works inevitably through me to will and to do that which ought to be done by me. I am governed by the law of God and cannot sin or fear sin, sickness, or even death. So as the title of my talk today is, let's have a jubilee every day. A celebration, celebrating even for a minute, even if you have to start with a minute before it can spread out to an hour and throughout the whole day and week and month and the rest of your life. Even for a minute, let's celebrate and live the love of the divine that is within each and every one of us together. And so it is. Thank you so much. Namaste. Namaste. So, thank you.